What up, world? Welcome to another episode of Brand Janu Show. As you know, I am the host, Brand Janu, and on all podcast platforms everywhere, Brand Janu Show, social media platforms, Instagram threads, Brand Janu, Facebook, The Brand Janu Show, and of course, TikTok. Brand Janu Show. Go follow me on all of those platforms. Go follow me on all those platforms, man. But usually where you really can go is just simply YouTube channel, Brand Janu Show. Catch all the visuals of this episode. I got some episodes out this week, closing out this week with these two episodes. Still debating on if I'm gonna do the next episode. But go to YouTube channel, man. Comment, leave comments. It helps in the algorithm. Like the video, the shorts, everything, man. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Let's get into it. So, I know I'm gonna do a deep dive today. This week, I just didn't know what I was going to do the deep dive on, what topic I was going to do it on. And then last night happened. And since I do wrestling, kind of got to talk about this. So I did my brother, Brian Beeline, shout out to him. Straight Through the Ropes podcast last night is on his YouTube channel. Brian Beeline Entertainment. Go subscribe to his YouTube channel. And I was on a show last night, and the topic was AEW. And we were talking about it, and while we were talking about it, I was watching AEW. I'm gonna be honest. I said this last night. I said this Tuesday when I did. I said this Tuesday when I did my Wrestling Life episode. AEW has this idea in their heads that wrestling is all that matters in wrestling. It had this idea. I don't know if it's Tony Khan. I don't know if it's. I mean, he's the booker. So clearly it's him, but I don't know who is creating all these shows or is like producing all these shows with him. I don't know. But in their minds, they think, oh, if we just put the best and the best in the ring, people are just gonna love it. Yeah, that's how this works. This is what's gonna work. I say this all the time when I watch AEW pay-per-views. I can watch the pay-per-view because the pay-per-view is so easy to do. Just go out there and wrestle. And I think we've given them so many passes because they're really great at putting pay-per-views on that nobody really tells them, hey, bro, the storyline aspect of TV is where you completely fell in that. I didn't question not one thing. I knew when I tuned in Sunday for AEW Revolution, which I fucking knew already, but when I tuned in to watch AEW Revolution, I expected it to be great. And that's exactly what the fuck I got. Like I said, outside of maybe the Hurt Syndicate match, the Okada match, especially that fucking main event. Oh my God. I'll talk about that in a minute. And like I said, the Mercedes match, I could have done without the Mercedes match. I don't think it needed to be on this card. It wasn't particularly something that we needed on this card. It was just not necessary. AEW has officially lost their fucking minds. They've lost it. They've lost their fucking minds because they think that if we just put matches on, that's all people are going to talk about. Every fucking week, damn near. Every fucking month, damn near. Every fucking month, it feels like you got a fucking tournament. a fucking tournament. You had a mini tournament to determine who's gonna fight Omega at AEW Revolution. This motherfucker ain't even a champion. Now he is the champion, and now you're doing another tournament. Because, and this is the thing I'm starting to realize. They know what they're good at. I think we expect more for them. But I think they're starting to realize what they're good at. They're good at matches. They're not good at storylines. They're not. And the people that can actually tell the storylines, like MJF and Adam Hangman Page, Ricochet and Swerve. Ricochet not so well because he can't fucking talk, and I'll talk about that in a second. Tony Storm. The people that can actually talk and sell stories, they give him the microphone. Will Ospreay's not great at promos. He's better than Ricochet. But you feel the emotion when he talks. And it's like, okay, I give you that. But AEW, I think and I'm just now realizing this. I think they know what they're good at. They're good at wrestling. They're not good at stories. They're not good at storytelling. Like I said, the people that can tell the stories, they tell the stories. MJF, Adam Hangman Page, MVP. They're good at storytelling. They can storytell. They can build a story. Most of these motherfuckers in your company can't talk. And I'm not talking about they're physically challenged. They can't talk. No. They can't talk. They can't do promos. They can't cut promos. They suck at them. They suck at cutting promos. You got Megan Bang out there every week coming out destroying people and not talking. That's great. She has no mouthpiece. You see, when WWE did this angle with Brock Lesnar, like in 2002, they put him with somebody that can literally sell him. Probably one of the greatest talkers in the business. And Paul Heyman. Megan Bain, where's her Paul Heyman? Where's her Paul Heyman? If you're not gonna have this woman cut a fucking promo of why you're here in AEW, why you're doing all of this destruction, and why you're now going after Tony Storm, and why you're still attacking Willie Nightingale and Chris Statlander. If you're not gonna talk, the fuck are you here for? If you're not gonna put up with somebody that can talk for her, why is she here? Where's Stokely Hathaway? Put him with Stokely Hathaway and let his ass talk for her. I don't give a fuck. Do something. This shit is bad. I think AEW starting to realize what they're good at. Wrestling. That's it. I said this last night. The wrestling angle, the wrestling itself on AEW is great. But that's not for TV. Their pay-per-views are awesome. I will never sit here and question AEW pay-per-view. AEW pay-per-views are awesome. They're awesome. But that's also because you don't have to play that shit off of a story. You can literally AEW has shown us all you have to do is put two people in a ring, let them fucking wrestle. What the fuck you think Forbidden Door is? AEW. Is for the best wrestle. But that's a double-edged sword. Because as great as your wrestling is, y'all are not storytellers. You're not. And I was actually gonna say this Tuesday and I didn't get a chance to do it. One of my questions that I had put on the paper was, which one do we prefer as wrestling fans? Do we prefer wrestling matches, stories being told in wrestling matches? Or do you prefer long-term booking? where it's not just the match. It's everything around it. You gotta pay attention. Do you prefer pretty much, Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland and Ricochet and just great matches? Or do you prefer what we're seeing with CM Punk and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and what Cody Rhodes and The Rock and John Cena and all this shit is kind of linked to each other? Do you prefer the Bloodline storyline? Like, do you prefer that? For me, it depends. If the match could be actually good and you tell a compelling story in the match, then I could probably let it slide. The problem with AEW is that that's all you rely on. You rely on the match. No matter what, you're relying on the match to tell the entire story when actuality is the story has to lead up to the match for the match to actually matter more. Anybody could go in that ring, like I've been said, anybody go in the ring, if you are a professional and this is what you do, anybody should be able to go in that ring and just go out there and fucking ball. But for the most part, what AEW's fucking up is, again, you only think wrestling fans care about wrestling. And that is why you are severely fucking up. It's gotta be more. Your storylines suck. I've tried to be like, oh nah, man, it sucks. And then you see what happened Sunday. You see what people were saying Sunday. After that fucking terrible fucking main event. You saw what happened Sunday. You saw how many people were outraged about that fucking shit match. And what the fuck do? You double down on it. You fucking double down on it. Oh no, we're just gonna give you Moxie Cope next fucking week in a street fight. Great, we're gonna get another fucking ECW type match. Great. You motherfuckers really think you ECW. Tony Khan wants to be ECW. I thought he wanted to be WCW, but this bitch wants to be ECW. But here's the problem with that. Paul Heyman actually knew the business. It's not his fault that he wasn't financially successful or financially wealthy like you are. It's not his fault. But Paul Heyman knew the business. If Paul Heyman had Tony Khan's money with his mind, ECW would be standing here today. ECW will actually be a company that will need no help. AEW would not be the second biggest company in wrestling. It wouldn't. If Paul Heyman had Tony Khan's money and his wrestling mind and booking, I don't even think WWE would be alive right now. I think all that should be golfed up by ECW. Don't even think WWE stands a chance. Because I think ECW evolves and it doesn't just do the blood. And because Paul Heyman knows that shit is it's here today and gone tomorrow. That what people want is storyline. Paul Heyman knows that. I don't even think WWE is alive right now. If ECW, if Paul Heyman had Tony Khan's money and his booking, Tony Khan's money, but his mind and booking for wrestling, WWE's not even like standing right now. Everybody be watching ECW. You fucking kidding me? RVD. And then you have the new flex of wrestlers. Come on, bro. Tony Khan does not know what wrestling is. He thinks put the dream matches on. I think he really does believe wrestling is dream matches. It's fantasy booking. The problem with that is that you can only do that. Somebody did not tell him, you can only do that for so long. And then you run out of dream matches and you run out of people that want to wrestle each other. You run out of it. You run out of it. AEW has suffered severely. And now you look at the people that they have lost in AEW. Perfect example, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, since leaving AEW, you realize since leaving AEW, this man was the creator, co-founder, and creator of that fucking company. That man left AEW. Left AEW. The first night he went back to WWE was WrestleMania 38. He fought at the time, and still at this time, one of the best wrestlers in the business in Seth Rollins, and he beat him in one of the best matches in WrestleMania. You don't believe me? It is named the 50th greatest WrestleMania matches. It was the number 50 greatest WrestleMania match. WWE listed this 50th. One of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. One of my favorite WrestleMania matches, definitely, of all time. Then they will go off and have two other matches that were really fucking good, including the iconic Hell in a Cell match where he tears his pectoral muscle, go into the cell, and wins the match. Now, of course, he had to go through surgery, leaves, comes back, and wins the fucking Royal Rumble. And then he goes to WrestleMania 39, and he beats Roman, and he loses to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 39, and one of the greatest WrestleMania matches to date. And now his storyline is even more impactful that you need to give him that belt. They play out the storyline the whole year to the point where he actually wins the Royal Rumble and becomes only the fourth person in wrestling history, WWE history, to win the Royal Rumble. Hogan, back-to-back Royal Rumbles. Hogan, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Cody Rhodes. Those are the four. The Royal Rumble has been an institution since what, 80? Since the 80s? There's only been four people that have won the Royal Rumble back to back. Hogan, who was at one time the biggest name in the company, the one of the pillars of the company, the face of the company, Hogan. Shawn Michaels, who was one of the pillars of the company, one of the faces of the company, one of the biggest names in wrestling. Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is one of the pillars of the company, one of the biggest faces in the company, in the history, and one of the greatest wrestlers. All three of them at one point in time was on people's Mount Rushmores, possibly ever. Cody's the fourth person ever would do that. You lost that. Then he goes off, and for the third time in WrestleMania history, for him, third time since he's been back in WWE, he not only main events one night, he main events two nights. And he doesn't just main event one night, he main evented against not just two members of one of the greatest groups, factions in wrestling history in the Shield. One is his tag team partner, Seth Rollins, who he came back against 2 years ago. The other one is his opponent that he wrestled at 39 and 40, the WWE champion. Both of the main titles, by the way, the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship, are both in this match. And to make it even fucking crazier, he's in the ring with possibly one of the greatest WWE superstars of all time, The Rock. This man is in a storyline with The Rock. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time, The Rock. That's a bullshit story how we had to get there, but it's still The Rock. He goes the next night and beats the unbeatable champion, the pillar of the company, Roman Reigns. He's now replacing him. To make things even fucking crazier, just to make it even fucking crazier, you want to make it even fucking more wild that this shit happened to them? Cody's not a champion. He's going into WrestleMania 41. His opponent is another man who was a pillar of the company, a face of the company, and considered probably one of the greatest to ever do it, and John Cena, one of the greatest faces in wrestling history. One of the greatest good guys in wrestling history. John Cena turned heel for Cody Rhodes. He turned heel for Cody Rhodes to become the biggest face in the company. Not only that, a year prior, he made the fans revolt. He made the fans turn on a fucking rock. A year later, a year before that, he made the fans turn on a rock. So in 2 fucking years, you had one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, The Rock, turn heel. Go back to Hollywood Rock. And now we're getting Hollywood Cena? All on Cody Rhodes? The man started your company. He started your company. He started the company with y'all. And in 3 years, 2023, 3 years, 2 years really, 2023, yeah. No, 2020, yeah, 2023. In 3 years, this would be 2022. Yeah, 2022. I'm tripping. 2022, 2023, 2024. Yeah, 3 years. So in 3 years, this man has headlined three main events, has become a tag team, an undisputed tag team champion, and now is the WWE champion. And yet, and on top of that, he has made two of the greatest wrestlers in the business of wrestling go heel to make him an even bigger fucking face. And that man is one of your founders of your company, and he's doing all that shit in your rival promotion. Okay, well, Brandon, that's just not enough. You have to show me where AEW is really fucking up. Okay, cool. How about Jade Cargill? Jade Cargill got a lot of hate when she first came to WWE. I mean, for very good reason. She wasn't really that advanced in the ring. I can easily tell you that. She is she her first time really being in WWE, right? She's learning the ropes. She's not really that great of a wrestler. But right now, she's in one of, if not the biggest storylines going into WrestleMania. And you see this woman in one of the biggest storylines, and possibly going to be one of the biggest storylines coming out of WrestleMania, because we still don't know who helped Naomi attack her. You really think Naomi is the only one that pushed Jade Cargill into a fucking car? Is it Bianca? Did Naomi have more help, like the Metaphor Girls? Jade Cargill is it now one of the biggest storylines going into WrestleMania and possibly coming out of WrestleMania? She is the longest reigning TBS champion in your company's history. Which is why you won't let Mercedes Moné lose, because you need her to break that record. Ah, oh, Jay's not good enough to really. Okay. What about CM Punk? CM Punk ain't Russell until he came into AEW in at least a decade. In at least a decade. This man came out of retirement just to join that company. You finally got CM Punk, one of the greatest talkers in the history of wrestling has ever been. Probably one of the greatest performers in the history of wrestling has ever been. I know people can nay it, yeah, nay it. I posted on my TikTok yesterday. Me being in Houston for the last promo, him and Seth Rollins cut at, before they had the match at Netflix. I was there that night. That shit was so much fun. I never thought in a million years I'd see CM Punk in a WWE building ever in my life. But he was there. And I was like, what the fuck? This is real. You brought that man out of retirement. You brought CM Punk out of retirement. Great. And then you proceeded to fuck up. CM Punk has to deal with backstage bullshit that Tony Khan should have nipped in the fucking bud if he was a real fucking owner and an actual real fucking understanding of business. Hey man, kill that shit. We need him and we need y'all. Chill. But no, you let the fucking inmates run the asylum, and that's exactly what they did. And they ran his ass right out the company and right into WWE Triple H's arms. And now, every time you hear a story about CM Punk, people are like, we love working with CM Punk. He's amazing. This man has had two rivalries in this business already with two people I'm pretty sure hate his fucking guts. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. But they're working together. And it's not no drama. It's not no craziness. It's not no, oh man, I hate you. None of that shit. You don't hear it. You don't hear it. You brought back CM Punk. CM Punk is now also in one of the biggest storylines heading into WrestleMania. Roman set in him. And possibly could leave WrestleMania. I still believe this. Can still leave WrestleMania, possibly champion. What's the favor? This is the problem. But people nowadays, you can't call out the actual truth. AEW's not good. It's not. Like I said, I think they believe that wrestling sells them stories, and it doesn't. AEW is great for what it is. It gives other wrestlers a chance. And here's again, like I always say, we want wrestlers to be in AEW. We want that. We want the company to be alive. We want the company to be there. We want that. We want the company to be there. We want that company to succeed. As wrestling fans, we want that company to succeed. Why would we not want that company to succeed? But the problem with you trying to make it succeed is that y'all are blind spotting this shit. And y'all are choosing to not call out the fucking problems with AEW. Because I promise you, you can easily pinpoint every problem in WWE. And that's my problem. And I hate using that shit. I hate having to bring up somebody else to make the fucking point for the other situation. But it's the fucking truth. You can easily pinpoint WWE fuck-ups. Easily. But when it comes to AEW, you just deer in headlights. You just can't see it. You have three of your biggest stars that you had in your company. And Jay wasn't as big as Punk and Cody. Nowhere near. But the way WWE made her be, the moment they got her, was like, we're going to send this woman to the fucking moon. And I promise you, if she can actually improve in the ring, next year at WrestleMania 42, she'll be competing for the title. She'll be fighting for the title. I think she wins the Royal Rumble next year, to be honest with you. I think she wins the Royal Rumble next year. Either her or Roxanne. That's my early two picks for next year's Royal Rumble. Her or Roxanne will win the Royal Rumble next or Roxanne will win the Royal Rumble next year. Then what you really gonna do? Punk is gonna be champion at some point. Cody's going to get the belt. If he loses at WrestleMania, he's gonna get the belt back. Then what you gonna do? AEW has fucked up. And they fucked up bad. They're fucking up because, again, like I said, you believe wrestling is all that people care about when it comes to actually wrestling. We need story. We need compelling game-changing story. The reason why the Bloodline storyline was so fucking good, the reason why the Bloodline storyline was so fucking good, it wasn't just Roman being, because the matches sucked. Roman title reign was not great. I've said this numerous fucking times. That title reign fucking sucked. The matches were the same over and over again. Jay and Jimmy, somebody would come out, help him win, and then he'll leave and he'll be thousand. But it was a story. Look at AEW. Perfect example. Lexus King, who's in NXT now, has the Heritage Cup. Ricky Saints, who was Ricky Starks in AEW, that man is leaving out of AEW. He's leaving out of Stand and Deliver, NXT Stand and Deliver, as the North American champion. I put money on that. He's gonna leave out of Stand and Deliver Vegas, WrestleMania weekend, as the North American champion. Put money on it. Stephanie Venker, who had a chance to go and sign to AEW, was like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna go sign to WWE. I'm gonna go to NXT. And now she's double champion. Ethan Page, who I heard of, never really watched a lot of his matches. Saw him sometimes in a North with Josh Alexander. But then you watch him he's having an incredible run in NXT. I did not like him and Trick Williams rivalry. I thought it was stupid. I'm starting to realize it might have been Trick, because Ethan Page can actually go in the ring. Him and Javon Evans rivalry has actually been really fucking good. Now, yeah, I'm like, maybe I'm wrong on Ethan Page. Maybe Ethan Page just had the wrong fucking opponent. Because Trick and him did not mesh at all. But him and Javon mesh perfectly. Them two motherfuckers go out there and bang. But even he had a great match at Roadblock that nobody talks about. That match was fucking amazing. I'm like, yo, that shit is good. Even the match they had at Vengeance Day was fucking great. These are people that AEW lost in free agency. Just let go. Penta, do I have to explain what Penta's looking like in WWE right now? When he gets his brother Rey Fénix, it's a done deal. It's a done deal, man. Malakai Black is coming back. Aleister Black will be back in WWE. You didn't use him well in AEW. I promise you that would not be the case in WWE. AEW is fucking up. And then let's look at all the players and the people that went from WWE to AEW. Swerve and Tony Storm. That's it. That's it. Swerve and Tony Storm, who never really got the proper respect and love and creative understanding that they needed when they were in WWE. They have superseded expectations in AEW. If you already knew they could be this great, you hit the fucking jackpot. That's a bet you should have took. Because you would have nothing but money right now. But outside of that, they have superseded expectations. Swerve is killing it. Toni Storm is possibly, if not the best women's wrestler in the world right now. But outside of those two, where's Keith Lee? Where's Keith Lee? Now, again, that's a medical problem. I hope he's healthy. Where's Keith Lee? Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. I promise you, I know damn well they're probably like, imagine what the fuck we could have been under Triple H right now. Now, again, when they left, it wasn't Triple H, it was Vince. So I totally understand they're leaving, but let's be 100. They cannot be now looking at WWE and being like, we would have ran rampant. We would be rap we would be running rampant on WWE right now. And in main event plans easily. Undisputed Era would have the tag team titles And I think Adam Cole would have won the Royal Rumble. Adam Cole would have won the Royal Rumble. Adam Cole would have won the Royal Rumble. And he'll be fighting Gunther right now. You think I'm crazy? And Roderick Strong will be battling Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship. This WrestleMania would have ended with the Undisputed Era on top of the mountaintop on Monday Night Raw. You think I'm tripping? You think I'm crazy? I might be, but watching what Undisputed Era was in gold, Black and Gold NXT compared to what WWE kind of needs right now, you need a guy that could go one on one with Gunther and actually make it competitive. Adam Cole, promo wise too, kill it. I know you don't really like putting hell and hell against each other, but for that time, you would just have to ride with it. The Undisputed Era with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, if he's healthy, against the War Raiders for the tag team titles, sign me the fuck up. I saw them in the NXT. I know what the fuck they can do in a ring. And then you put them in WrestleMania? What, maybe the Creed Brothers? Done. Done. Do it. Do it. And Roderick Strong versus Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental Championship? You telling me that wouldn't be one of the greatest matches you've ever seen in WrestleMania? You out your fucking mind. There's no way in hell they looking at that and being like, we could be so much bigger if we was in WWE right now. The whole Death Riders are old WWE stars. I don't know what Pac would look like in WWE right now. I don't know what Neville would look like in WWE right now. I'm gonna be honest, I don't know. But I do know that Claudio Castagnoli, Cesaro, will be massively fucking used. And if you couldn't get Roderick Strong, imagine Bron Breakker, Sheamus, Luven Kaiser, and Cesaro for the Intercontinental Championship. Or Cesaro versus LA Knight. Or maybe he's fighting Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. Imagine this. If you're Cesaro, Claudio Castagnoli. Before you left WWE, you finally had a one-on-one singles match at WrestleMania against Seth Rollins, one of the best workers in the business. And you beat him at WrestleMania 37. And then you turn around the next month, somewhat same month, next month, at WrestleMania Backlash, at the WrestleMania 37, and you challenge Roman Reigns at the beginning of the Tribal Chief stage. And you battle Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal Championship. And now look at where you at right now in AEW. Now maybe he's like, nah, I like it here. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the man. But look at how crazy that looks compared to what you was. And that's before Triple H got in charge. Imagine if Triple H was in charge and you came back. He'd be pushing a card. He'd be pushing the top of the card. Triple H loves Cesaro. Look at what they did with Sammy. Sammy and Cesaro used to have fucking incredible fucking matches in NXT. You telling me Cesaro couldn't fit in this WWE? Come on. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Chris Jericho's a. It is what it is with Chris Jericho. But Copeland, Adam Copeland, and John Moxley, and my brother B-Line brought this up yesterday. He was like, oh man, I can't wait to see Mercedes. I wish Mercedes is in WWE now. I don't want Mercedes back in WWE. I think that she wouldn't fit. She wouldn't fit. And I don't mean if she had this type of attitude where she thought she was the biggest star that we've ever seen in wrestling. you would not have fit in this WWE. You wouldn't fit. Look at how WWE has positioned certain people that left AEW. Look at how AEW has positioned certain people in WWE. I don't know if these dudes got creative control. It sounds like they do. But in history of wrestling, it has been told that if a wrestler has creative control over their character or what they can do, 9 out of 10 is just countdown to when your fucking company goes under. And it sounds like Adam Copeland, Edge, has creative control. Sounds like Jon Moxley has creative control. Sounds like Mercedes Moné have creative control. So if that is the case, and by the way, these are signings that you gave, you brought in. If that is the case, no wonder why the company's in the shit that is in. No wonder why the company is in the shape that is in. Then on top of that, then on top of that, you can't tell stories. AEW. I wish that people could have honest conversations. Real wrestling fans do not want AEW to die. We don't. We just want it to be better. The fact that you have people like Will Ospreay, who's never seen Will Ospreay wrestle before, MJF, who've never MJF, who's so fucking captivating. You have Adam Hangman Page, whose character, either a good guy or a heel, is so fucking incredible. You have all of these amazing storytelling people right there in your palm of your hands, great wrestlers, and it seems like you don't know how to fucking use them. And then you have people in this media, wrestling media, IWC, that again, like I said, they're only gonna give praise to AEW. Even if it's fucking bad, because I went and watched WrestleTalk, those dudes, and I watched JD from New York. It's two different tones. It's two different tones. They were literally, I watched that shit today, and I don't even watch WrestleTalk, but I knew they were gonna be lying for AEW. So I went to watch it. I just wanted to see what the fuck they were talking about. I haven't seen them dudes in months. I don't even watch WrestleTalk anymore. Because they're just Dave Meltzer. Just in London. That's it. You can't point out that this company's fucking bad. You will never admit that this company's fucking bad. And even if you do admit that it's bad, you have 20 different fucking lined up excuses for why it's not as bad as you think it is. No, bitch, my eyes are telling me that it's pretty fucking bad. It's pretty fucking pathetic. You don't want to believe you or my fucking eyes. There's too many great wrestlers in AEW for wrestling the fucking for the storylines to fucking suck. But again, you're putting people in positions that are not supposed to be in those positions. Mercedes Moné and Adam Copeland and all these other people should not have fucking creative control. Why the fuck would you give them creative fucking control when they have no idea how to handle this shit? I said this Sunday when the show went off the air. I said this Tuesday, really. On my show, I said this. I said that I am 100% sure that the only reason why Adam Copeland is at AEW right now is because Triple H looked at him and told him, "You're gonna put over every young new talent and every feud that you're in here." And he was like, "No, the fuck I'm not," and he left. And I don't know why he thinks that because he's in AEW with creative control, it makes him now better. It actually makes you look fucking worse. I don't care about Adam Copeland. I said this shit Tuesday and I said this shit again. Storylines matter. How you are projected and how you are seen right now, it fucking matters. And right now, in my heart of hearts, John Moxley and Adam Copeland have absolutely 100%, without a fucking shadow of a doubt, have fucked up how we perceive them now in wrestling. Same thing with Mercedes. She's getting there too. Don't get it twisted. The more you win these matches and you keep just fucking over people and nobody's gonna beat you and we all know this shit, it's crazy to me. I hope, I pray. I don't know when his deal ends, but I hope and pray that MJF goes the fuck to WWE by the age of 30. And I hope by the time he gets there, he is the next big fucking star. And Cody Rhodes is the one he beats and puts over. Cody Rhodes puts him over and let him be a new face of fucking WWE. Because this man does not deserve this bullshit. Will Ospreay talked so crazy and reckless about WWE, about how scheduling and all that other shit. You're performing in front of maybe 25,000 people at pay-per-views, and that's being generous. I can't wait to see these numbers. I can't wait to see these numbers this week. But to see what AEW pulled in and what NXT pulled in. Bro, you losing to NXT. And NXT is fucking hot. I've been watching NXT, like I said, for like 2, 3 years now. When it was on USA and now it's on. And I was like, nah, I'm probably not gonna watch NXT. Like, I have watched NXT faithfully. It is now like a Monday Night Raw, NXT on Tuesdays, Friday Night SmackDown, AEW Wednesday. Cool. I'm telling you right now, I ain't even gotta watch Friday night. NXT already had the better show. It was better than Raw. It was way better than Dynamite last night. And it's gonna be better than SmackDown. I don't even have to watch SmackDown tomorrow to know SmackDown ain't gonna be on what NXT was on. Yeah. AEW had one job. They had one job. Be different. Be different. And the crazy part is, and this is something that they don't want to admit, every fan of AEW right now, I promise you, every fan of AEW right now, the only reason why you cannot see the hypocrisy in it is because you actually really did love WWE when Vince was running it. You did like WWE when Vince was running it. Because that's exactly what the fuck you're getting in AEW right now. It's Tony Vince McMahon. It's the same fucking product. Fucking bunch of fucking tournaments that don't mean shit. You barely see the fucking champions. You got a fucking title in a briefcase. Your main title is on a briefcase. That's worse than having Brock Lesnar hold the belt for 500 days. Damn near 600 days, and he was barely on TV for like 400 of them fucking days. Doubling down on a fuck up, knowing you fucked up, and yet you still doubling down on it. You liked it, WWE, when Vince McMahon was running it. As much as you sat there and complained and bitch moaned, you didn't know. And this is how stupid it is. Now you got favorites. That's my biggest problem with this company too, is that the reason why you don't want to say it's bad is because you think that's what wrestling is. A bunch of fucking tournaments that don't mean nothing. Champions that's never on TV. Title reigns that suck. You got a woman that got a belt, who's got four belts, and only one of those belts is supposed to matter in the actual company that she's in. And even that belt don't even fucking matter. And she's the one that's getting paid all the money. It's funny how AEW fans swear to God, WWE was so bad under Vince, and that's the reason why they could never like a WWE again. when you are actually liking AEW and pretending like AEW is so great, when in actuality, it's just Vince McMahon running WWE in 2018 through 2022. That's all it is. You got a few here and there's, but for the most part, it's a fucking cesspool of bad decisions and sucky ass storytelling. And doubling down on a fuck up. You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for Tony Khan to walk into the building one day. And he pulls out a fucking golden rod or something. And he's just telling everybody to admire it. And everybody's like, oh. Then you will finally understand. Wow, did this motherfucker really just pull out a golden fucking statue and just say, oh. And everybody's like, oh my God. Then you're gonna finally understand it. Because you don't believe that this is the same WWE that you cried, bitch moaned, and complained about. AEW's that now. And yet you don't want to believe that. You don't want to believe that. Until Tony Khan pull up with a fucking golden flask or some shit. And he's got to promote a WWE, he's got to promote something for Max. And he's holding it, and everyone's like, oh, you're gonna be like, oh my God. Did this motherfucker like the golden egg at Survivor Series in 2022? What the fuck are we doing? What are we doing? You're not gonna believe it. I'm telling you this, and you're not gonna believe it. I've been watching wrestling since I was a child, bro. I can tell you when something's good and when something's bad. AEW is fucking terrible. It's bad, bro. It's bad. You keep listening to these young kids, and a lot of these fucking dudes are like 20, 24, 25. They didn't grow up with actual real wrestling. They grew up with this fucking high flying shit, and they think that's good. It's not. It's not. The reason why Austin and The Rock got over, because of story. The reason why the NWO got over. As fucking bad as that story now looks in hindsight, the reason why I got over so fast is because of the story. The reason why Sting got over so much in WCW with the NWO, because of the story. Now the ending fucked up because of Hulk Hogan. Wonder why that was so bad. Because, oh yeah, he had creative control. Even though Eric Bischoff, swear to God, he never used his creative control when you have literally every fucking wrestler tell you from the moment they leave the company, say, Hulk Hogan had creative control. This motherfucker had creative control. And every time. You had Scott Steiner just recently on a podcast, literally, Chris Van Vliet's show. And he's like, oh, Hulk Hogan, he's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit. He's an asshole. Fuck that dude. He even said they couldn't even do shit until Hulk Hogan walked into the building to approve it. Welcome to AEW. That's AEW right now. That's AEW right now. But again, you won't believe it until Tony Khan pulls up with a golden flask or a golden egg like Vince did at Survivor Series in 2022. And then you realize, oh my God, this shit is bad. You won't believe it. You won't believe it. You can call out, easily call out WWE's fuck ups. But for some apparent reason, AEW is just this savior of wrestling. No, it's not. It hasn't been and it will never be. It's over. It's done. Put it in a box. It's done. AEW is not the second biggest promotion in wrestling. It's not. It's not. It's not. God forbid if TNA actually catches. Like TNA really gets hot. It's over. I'm hoping by Survivor Series they actually do a Worlds Collide between TNA and WWE and NXT. I hope it happens. It needs to happen. Because Roadblock was great. Roadblock was awesome. Seeing Moose and the Hardys, that was awesome. AEW is WWE in 2018, what, 2017, 2021, 22. AEW is 2000s WCW, 2000s ECW. Name a promotion where you knew, oh shit, this ship is sinking. Like, God damn, it just hit the iceberg. Oh my God, somebody, please explain. What's that? I've been to this. When you start losing MJF and you lose Will Ospreay, and you lose certain wrestlers, that you're like, oh shit, this is real. And here's the thing again, we need AEW alive, because if it's not alive, then WWE can't be the only wrestling company in town. That's not good. So we want AEW to be great. But to sit up here and pretend like no matter what, they're gonna just, I can't go along with you. Can't go along with you. I can't die on that hill. I refuse. I refuse. That is it. I'll tell you guys soon. Peace.